Now, words appear over a glowing fire, inspired by actual events. Turning away from the fire, a small girl with long reddish blonde hair walks through a stark room. She glances around, her fair cheeks flushed pink and stained with tears. An arrangement of flowers sits at the foot of the staircase. A white-haired man and woman linger nearby with solemn expressions. The girl continues past, into a parlor. Bright light floods into the room through latticed windows, and people dressed in black cluster together. The girl's gaze rests for a moment on a woman standing in a doorway. The woman stares back listlessly, her sleek brown hair pinned back from her face. The girl walks past the woman to a small casket in the corner of the room, surrounded by flowers. Stepping slowly toward it, she leans forward to look inside. A young boy lies in the white silk-lined casket, dressed in a suit and tie. Peering over the edge of the coffin, the girl reaches out a hand to touch his face. Her fingers graze his cheek. She pulls away with a violent motion. In a hazy vision, she sees a mustached man beating the boy. The man grabs the boy by his arms and strikes him full across the face. Reeling backward, the boy tumbles down the wooden staircase, then falls head over feet, striking his head against a step. The boy cries out, then falls limp.
Danielle, what are you doing?
The brown-haired woman.
Come away from there.
Danielle grips the casket.
I know, honey. It's so sad.
I know what happened. I know why he died.
We all know what happened, honey. He fell. He hit his head.
No, he didn't fall. It was Mr. Bradley.
What are you saying?
Mr. Bradley hit him, and he pushed him down the stairs. I saw it in my mind.
Are you making up stories? Look, why are you doing this?
I'm not.
Look, don't you dare make up stories about this. It's bad enough that you...
But he killed him.
Stop it! No, stop it now!
Mr. Bradley.
What's Danielle saying?
You pushed him.
Now look, this is his father. Now stop it.
He's dead. You hit him. I saw it.
The woman grabs Danielle.
Shut up. Shut up. You stupid little girl! You are not... You are not my daughter.
The woman turns away, then walks from the room. Mr. Bradley stares at Danielle, his face ashen. Danielle stares back at him with wide eyes. Now, Danielle is in her 30s. She drives on a rain-soaked road. Titles appear. Melissa Gilbert. A Vision of Murder. The Story of Danielle.
It's pretty. It's what? It's pretty when it's wet. It's what and it's what.
Titles continue. Thomas Ian Griffith and Maria Conchita Alonso.
This is going to be great. New town, new life.
Danielle's daughter stares out the window.
Whatever. I know this has been hard on you, moving around a lot. And that's my fault. Maybe we just... need to find the right place to settle down.
More titles. Kim Hawthorne, Shauna Kane, Randy Lynn, Michelle Hart, Robert Louis Avery, and Rick Torn.
All places seem okay to me.
Sometimes things just don't work out.
You never like to stay anywhere.
This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH, described by Nicole Savickas and Jan Stankus, read by Chloe Lehman. For more about description, call DVS at 1-800-333-1203. Titles continue. Co-producers Kathy Gilroy-Serretta, Jane Stewart, Eric Podica, and Wendy Robbins. Now, Danielle and her daughter climb out of the car in a small town.
Oh, wow. Look at this. It's pretty.
Pretty dumpy.
The word is quaint.
So, why did you pick this place?
Well, because it's small, it's safe, and it's close to the water.
More like underwater.
Boats line a marina.
Why is it just sitting there?
Beats me. You know, I have a good feeling about this place.
I bet they have great schools. I'm gonna find a great job, maybe meet some nice people. Hey, I might even meet a nice guy.
That would be the day.
It's possible.
Anything's possible.
Let's go find a place to live.
Are we gonna live in another apartment?
Nope, we're gonna get a house. I bet you they don't even have apartments here.
Later on a quiet street.
Hi. Hello. Ellie just called. You folks looking to rent?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Danielle. This is my daughter, Rachel.
Welcome to Steveston. You want to see the house?
Yeah.
Titles continue. Executive producers Mary Lou Henner, James D'Antoni, Chris Coben, and Edward Asner. Produced by John Peter Koussakis. Written by Paul Eric Myers. Directed by Donald Rye. Later inside.
We'll take it.
That'll be first and last, plus security.
Yeah, no problem.
Cash. Or money order made out to me, Doris McCulley.
Danielle opens her wallet.
Cash.
She counts some bills.
There.
Thanks.
Doris counts the money.
Things are kind of tight around here. My husband hasn't taken the boat out in 6 months.
Do you like kids?
Had some. They were all right.
She walks out.
They were all right?
Later, Rachel and Danielle eat popcorn.
So, who lived here?
I have no idea. Obviously not someone from Chicago.
Can we change stuff?
Sure.
Like, I want posters and everything.
Absolutely, we can do whatever we want. It's our place.
You see us staying?
Uh-uh. I'm not starting that with you. You know I don't have that kind of vision.
So, what's gonna happen to me?
Oh, let me see. You're gonna have a fabulous life. You're gonna do a job that you love to do. I'm gonna marry a great guy. And you're gonna have a bunch of great kids just like you.
I could have gotten that from a fortune cookie.
Danielle grabs a handful of popcorn and tosses it in Rachel's face. Now, Danielle climbs out of her small red Ford. She checks her reflection in the window, then walks toward an office. A sign reads, Steveston Employment Incorporated.
Me to test your word processing skills, as well as any other programs you might know.
Programs?
Financial spreadsheets, accounting programs? Data management?
Well, I'm not a bad typist, and I catch on to stuff real fast.
I can't lie to you. It's gonna be tough. No college, not even a high school diploma or GED. To be honest, even if you had more extensive skills, I wouldn't be able to place you now anyway. The town is going through hard times. The cannery closed, a lot of people out of work. Jobs were scarce as it was, now...
Isn't there anything?
Some minimum wage stuff, you know, coffee shop, things like that. Okay.
Danielle stands from her chair.
I see you were a nightclub entertainer.
Danielle glances at the ground.
I waitressed in a bar where you had to dance.
There are a couple of places, even in bad times. Pay's not bad. Tips are good. Enough to live on.
No, I didn't want to work at night. I wanted to spend that time with my daughter.
I'm sorry. I'm sure something will come up.
Later, outside, Danielle walks back to her car. She stops at the door, then turns and leans against the hood, staring off. Later, she drives through an industrial neighborhood. The sky is dark, and a heavy mist hangs in the air. Danielle parks the Ford in front of a bar, the Wild Duck Inn. She gets out of the car, setting her jaw. Later, at home, she wears a low-cut hot pink blouse and a short black skirt.
Did you get your dinner?
Danielle's curly hair is pulled back, and heavy makeup lines her eyes.
Do you hear me?
Not hungry.
Oh, baby, please don't be mad. This is just temporary until I can find the time to find something better.
You always say that.
All right, come on, eat your dinner. Come on, it's your favorite. Macaroni and cheese.
It's yours.
What am I supposed to do? Well, the pay is good. I tried for an office job. I did. They said they'd call if something opened up.
Whatever.
Rachel, you know how much I hate that word. What do you want me to do?
Do you have to look like that?
I think it's sort of cute in a tacky sort of way.
I think it's kind of tacky in a tacky sort of way.
You know how much I hate to leave you. I'll be fine, really. All right. Mrs. McCauley is right next door, keeping an eye out if you need anything, okay?
Rachel smiles.
I might give you a kiss, but I won't get lipstick all over your face.
They rub noses.
Be sweet.
Rachel watches Danielle leave. Later, Danielle steps up to a bar where a waitress with long dark hair puts in an order.
It's only 9:30. My feet are killing me. Does anybody care?
The owner glares at her.
Of course not. Hi, I'm Gloria.
Danielle. Mm. Hey, does this guy ever smile?
In 4 years, I've never seen him smile. So don't take it personally.
It's nice meeting you.
We'll be seeing more of each other than we can probably stand.
Oh, no, this is just a temporary job.
That's what I said, but we'll get out of here. I'm going to open up a store right here on Main Street, a business of my own.
It's great.
Driver, bourbon, scotch.
You know, people are saying this town will go broke now that the cannery closed. But prices are cheap, and I found this storefront up for lease. Why don't you go see it tomorrow? Maybe you can be my partner. You got any money?
No.
Main Street.
Danielle walks over to a table, then stops, glancing around. A handsome, lean man in a leather jacket looks up at her.
Wonder somebody else sitting there?
Oh, not now.
Oh, man, I hope that guy didn't run off in the middle of his tab.
What do you order?
Scotch on the rocks.
You're not going to believe this. That's just what I was going to order.
Oh, this is a first.
How's that?
Guy actually trying to make my life easier.
Well, you look around a place like this, it's hard to count on people. I mean, stiffing a poor working girl for her check.
Then you wouldn't do that.
You can take that to the bank.
Really?
He places a glass on her tray.
What's your name?
Danielle.
Doug.
He looks her up and down in a quick glance.
Well, I'll see you around, pretty lady.
Danielle smiles as she walks away, peeking back over her shoulder at Doug. She carries her tray to the bar and takes the glass in her hand. Danielle stops in her tracks and her eyes focus inward. In a vision, she sees a dock at night and a body wrapped in plastic and duct tape. Black-gloved hands push the body down and it struggles against them. A reflection of light glows off the water as the body lurches forward, falling off the dock. Danielle watches as the body crashes through the surface of the water, sending up a glassy white spray as it sinks. Gloria watches as Doug hurries to Danielle's side.
Hey, you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Danielle notices her boss.
Sometimes I get cramps in my legs.
Come here, sit down, here.
No, I gotta keep working. It's first night on the job.
All right, but I'm gonna keep an eye on you.
Sorry.
The owner glares at her. Later.
Come on, we're gonna be late. School's only a couple blocks away.
Danielle puts a sandwich in a bag, then drops a dish in the sink. She raises a hand to her head.
Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. You've been acting weird all morning. I'm fine, really. You haven't had any of those mind things again, have you? I don't know. Maybe. Don't do this, Mom. It wrecks everything. Rachel, just go brush your teeth.
The girl turns and walks out of the kitchen. Standing at the sink, Danielle closes her eyes and shakes her head, then follows Rachel to the bathroom. She peeks her head in the doorway.
We're gonna be late. I already said that.
I know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you mad.
I know, it's okay. Come on, I gotta get my stuff.
Rachel walks into the living room, pausing by the TV.
Steveston last night, a transient found the unidentified body of a young woman that had washed up on shore. The local police chief, Manny Garrett, had no comment, except to imply that most probably the murder had been committed in some other jurisdiction outside the county.
Steveston turn that off.
Rachel turns off the TV and follows her mom out of the house. Fade to black.
A runaway, probably. They're
at the crime scene.
These kids pass through here on the way to Seattle.
You don't get this kind of thing around here very often, do you?
Well, in my time, we've only had one murder when Bill Thompson killed his brother with a grappling hook over a boat, but this is something different.
Uniformed officers carry a body from the water.
Well, a young dead girl runaway? In San Francisco, that sometimes goes for a serial killer.
How you make a jump like that?
Well, there's something random about it, Manny. You know, not personal. And what kind of a history could this girl have had with anyone around here? And they wrap up in plastic? What's that about?
Ron? Yeah. Let's put a county-wide notice, bring in these three kids, and talk to all of them. One of them must have seen something.
Now, Danielle walks across the street carrying a grocery bag. She stops in front of a newspaper vending box, then takes out a paper. The headline reads, Girl's Body Found at Water's Edge. Danielle looks up, staring into the distance, then walks away. Later at the Wild Duck Inn.
You're right.
Yeah.
Danielle walks up to the bar.
The raw boy was up. Sorry.
You said rocks. Second drink you screwed up tonight. Wake up, okay?
Won't happen again.
Staring down at her tray, Danielle carries the drinks over to some customers.
I hate to put a crimp in your style, all right? But let's plan for the future. Who's driving?
He is.
I thought we came in your car.
You did. I drove here. You drive bad.
Guys, come on.
What, are we waiting for Christmas before we serve?
Hey, hold your tab unless you tell me who you're designated. Drop!
One of the guys grabs Danielle and pulls her into his lap. She tears herself away and stands.
Stop!
Wait up. Only having a little fun.
Doug runs up behind the guy and chokes him in a headlock, then slams him down onto the pool table.
How much fun you want to have?
Knock it off!
Doug, let him go. It's all right.
Knock it off! None of this in my bar.
He's just trying to help me.
The owner eyes Doug, a baseball bat in one hand. Doug pushes the guy face first onto the pool table and releases him.
Problem's over.
Doug picks the guy up and drops him in his chair.
Isn't that right?
The guy rubs his throat, grimacing. Doug glances over at Danielle. She turns and walks away. With a look back over her shoulder at the owner, who still holds the baseball bat, Danielle carries her tray to the bar. Doug glares down at the guy from the fight, then follows Danielle. He finds her in a room off the bar. She turns to him, a hand on her hip.
You all right?
Yeah. You scared me in there.
I was just trying to help.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't handle violent stuff really well, but thank you.
So, what's a nice girl like you
doing in a bar like this?
This bar, this town. You're not from around here.
It's that obvious, huh? I don't know. We needed a change, thought we'd try something different.
We married.
Oh, no, no. My daughter and me. We.
Oh. So, there's some guy out there staring into an empty closet.
No, he left before I did.
What happened?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes you just don't get what you bargain for, I guess.
Him or you? It's his loss. You deserve something special.
Is that your best line?
No. I got others.
Yeah. I hate to be rude, but a bar full of people in there waiting for drinks.
She walks to the doorway.
Danielle.
She turns.
We'll talk again, okay?
Wrinkles curve at the outer edges of Doug's lips as he gazes at Danielle. She walks out of the room grinning. Doug's smile fades and he stares forward. Later, daytime, Danielle drives up to Main Street. On the sidewalk, Gloria jumps and waves as she spots her, then motions Danielle over to an empty storefront.
You came! Come on. Since you want to be my partner.
In whose lifetime?
Look.
Here it is. My ticket out of the Wild Duck.
It's great. What are you going to do with it?
Oh, a secondhand kid clothing store.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I've never done anything like this before in my whole life, you know, like take a chance. But who cares? I'll learn how to do it. I need a little bit of respect. If I stay in that bar, I'm going to end up killing myself, one way or another.
Hey, I'll bring my daughter in. We'll be your first customers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Come take a look at it. Look, it's an old empty place right now, but can you just see it?
Danielle gazes into the window and her face freezes. Through the reflection in the glass, she sees two teenage girls on the street behind her, hitchhiking. Then, in a vision, Danielle sees the two girls walking the street at night. A car pulls up beside them. A black-gloved hand opens the door. One of the girls, dressed in a red sweater, speaks to the man in the car, then climbs into the passenger seat. Danielle sees the bare branch of a tree, and below it, a bloodied body wrapped in plastic floating in the water. The other girl walks up to the car and turns to watch as it drives away. Danielle sees the girl's face through the plastic bag.
Oh, God, no. No, I gotta go.
What's going on? What's wrong?
Danielle looks at Gloria, then at the girls.
See those girls over there? They're in trouble. You ever get feelings?
Like you're psychic or something?
I guess you could call it that, yeah.
Wow, that's very cool. You're a psychic? Can you tell me anything about the storm? Am I going to make lots of money?
You don't understand. It doesn't work that way. It just hits me, you know, and it's really bad. It's awful. The girl in the red sweater's going to die.
Oh, my God. You're serious?
I've got to go get Rachel.
Well, you're just going to leave her like this? I mean, we should do something about it. Talk to the police?
No, believe me, I've tried that in the past so many times, and they just don't believe me. And you know what? Sometimes I'm wrong. I'm probably just wrong now, you know? I don't know. I got to go, though.
You're okay. You sure? I mean, you don't want me to go with you?
No, I'm fine, really. And I'm sorry I scared you. I'll just see you at work.
Danielle gets into her car. She drives away. Gloria watches the two girls as they walk arm in arm down the street. Later, Danielle drives along a residential road. She studies the houses, squinting to read their numbers. Driving further on, she glances down at a slip of paper in her hand. Danielle turns into the stone-paved circular driveway in front of a large house. She parks the Ford near the front door, then climbs out, gazing up at the imposing facade of the house. Danielle hurries to the door as rain starts to fall. She rings the bell. A woman answers, her face breaking into a warm smile.
You must be Rachel's mother.
Yeah, Danielle, hi.
Morning. They're in the den working on the computer.
Computer.
Yeah, CD game of some kind. I don't even know how to turn the thing on. I'm Georgia, by the way, Anne's mother. I have some coffee if you'd like.
Oh, no, I better get going or I'm going to be late for work.
Well, what is it that you do?
I work in the food and beverage industry. I hope Rachel hasn't been in any trouble.
Oh, gosh, no, she's a great kid.
Yeah, thanks.
Here we are.
Hey, Rach. Looks like it's about time to wrap it up, okay?
Mom, can I stay for dinner?
Rachel?
Please do.
I invited her. Can you stay, too?
It's very nice of you, but we can't stay, so no.
Why not?
Because I said so. Now get your stuff and let's go.
Bye, Anne. Thanks. Talk to Mom about the trip. Yeah, thanks.
I'll see you out.
Later at home.
What's so great about eating here? They wouldn't have killed you to stay. They're nice.
All right, maybe I was wrong, okay? You can do it another time.
We never have any friends. I mean, I know kids from school and everything, but we never get a chance to meet their families. Anne has friends from kindergarten.
Well, we moved around a lot, you know?
Other people stay in one place. Why are we so different?
Baby, I want that too. Place of our own. All my life.
Never act like you want any friends.
Well, always felt different from other people.
Lots of people are different. They have friends.
Well, sometimes people get nervous about stuff they don't understand.
You never give anyone a chance. I mean, Anne's mom is real nice.
Rachel sits in her mother's lap.
Come here.
Danielle wraps her arms around her.
All right. I'll try.
Try harder.
They hug. Fade to black. Now, Danielle walks into the Wild Duck Inn. She hurries over to the bar.
You're 10 minutes late, Danielle.
Yeah, I know. I'm real sorry.
Here's your bag for the night. Count it and get busy.
Yes, sir. Thanks for coming. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll forgive you if you give me all your tips.
Just kidding. Help me catch up, okay?
Okay, we need one Irish whiskey, bourbon rocks, and two premiums for them over there. And two house dress for those guys.
A large woman sits in Doug's lap, her hands around his neck.
Where did you pick her up? She comes in with him sometimes. He's married?
No, just, who knows? Hard to figure out. I mean, a good-looking man with somebody like that. You know, I know nothing. Hey, Rebecca. There. Yeah, I don't know what his trip is.
Danielle purses her lips in the grimace, then walks away. Gloria takes a swig of scotch as Danielle carries two beers over to Doug and the woman.
Hey, where have you been?
Danielle sets down the drinks.
Could you break this for me? A couple of fives and a ten.
Danielle flips through some bills.
That was four fives.
She glances quickly at the woman.
Okay, that's good. Thank you, Danielle.
She looks up at him and casts a short grin, then walks away. Doug watches her go. As she picks up his 20, Danielle has a vision. In a blur, she sees the taillights of a station wagon, the tailgate rusted. Danielle watches as a man forces the girl in the red sweater out of the station wagon and pushes her through a gate in a chain-link fence, pulling her hair. The girl struggles as the man holds an arm around her neck. He moves a black-gloved hand over her mouth. Danielle sees chains hanging from the ceiling and the girl's frightened face as the man opens a worn wooden door and pushes her into a dark room. The girl looks frantically around, then stumbles onto a soiled mattress. The man sits on top of her, choking her, then aims a gun at her face. In the bar, Danielle collapses. Gloria rushes to her side. Doug cranes his neck to watch, his eyes wide. Gloria helps Danielle up.
Oh, my God, Gloria, what am I going to do?
All right, now you're going to stay on your feet, okay? And act as though you tripped,
okay? I'm okay. I'm fine. I just sort of tripped a little, that's all. Yeah. Nothing. I'm fine. It's
Doug's fine. Gaze is fixed on Danielle.
Why don't we just mix some drinks?
What happened? Did you see something? The same girls.
I think one of them was over there.
God, Danielle, you gotta call the cops.
You're just gonna laugh in my face.
Well, you gotta do something. I mean, you just can't. Unless maybe this isn't real. Could it be something else?
It's my brain tumor. No. No, I've been through this before. And you know what? If I don't serve some drinks, I'm gonna have visions of myself standing in the unemployment line. Thanks.
Doug watches Danielle closely, then turns away in thought. Later, Danielle tries to start the Ford. Drops of rain coat the red car as it sits in the empty parking lot. A man walks over to her passenger side window and knocks. Doug leans down, then walks over to the driver's side.
Looks like you're having a hard night.
You scared me. I didn't realize it was you.
Oh, sorry. Can I help?
No. I'm just gonna go in and call a cab.
Why? I'm a pretty good mechanic. Pop her open. Let me take a look. Maybe I'll get you going.
You're gonna get filthy.
If it's a complete engine rebuild, I'll pass, but you never know. Take a look.
Danielle pops the hood and Doug looks underneath. Danielle gets out of the car.
What happened in there tonight?
Nothing. I'm just on overload, I guess.
That was a whole lot of nothing. You know, sometimes it helps if you talk about it.
Can you tell what's wrong?
You said you tripped in there. That's not what happened. I was watching you. What? Are you sick or something?
No, it's not like that.
But it was like something just suddenly took a hold of you. What is it?
Danielle walks past him, her arms crossed over her chest.
It's all right. I don't want to upset you. Hey, look at this. Distributor cap is loose. Twice now. First time I was handing you a glass, remember? Then tonight I gave you money for change and it happened again. If I didn't know any better, I would think it had something to do with me.
I don't want to talk about this. It scares me.
If you're afraid that I'm going to think you're some weirdo or something, I'm not. I just want to know what it is. Where do you go? What do you see?
I see. Awful places, dark. It terrifies me.
Visions.
I really gotta get going.
She walks back to her car.
Well, look, you should be all set here. I tell you what. Look for me in those visions that you have. You might learn something interesting about both of us. Go ahead. Give her a try.
Thanks.
All right.
Doug watches as Danielle drives off. She gives a smile and a wave, then turns out of the parking lot. Doug's face hardens as her taillights fade into the distance.
Okay. Might as well just go for it. What do you want?
I and your family are going to the mountains for a trip and stuff.
What mountains? For how long?
A week. It's more of a skiing trip and a family condo.
Richie? I don't even know these people.
They're just regular people. A regular family. Normal. It's simple and easy.
Okay. I'll think about it. Okay?
Rachel nods her head. Now, a motorcycle and a large light blue station wagon with a rusted tailgate sit parked outside a green house with a patched shingle roof. Inside, Doug lifts the mug, then wipes the spot on the table, placing the mug back down. In the kitchen behind him, the woman from the bar washes dishes in a sink. She wears green hospital scrubs. Doug lifts the mug and takes a sip, then wipes the table once more. The woman steps out of the kitchen.
Let me see something. Hold out your arm.
She smiles as she holds out her arm. Doug unfastens her thick gold bracelet.
What are you doing?
The waitress? The girl at the bar. I want her to have this.
It's mine.
He grabs her hand.
What makes it yours?
She stares at him, her lips pinched in a snarl. Doug releases her hand, and she starts back to the kitchen, then faces him.
You know what makes it mine.
Later, Gloria and Danielle work the bar. Danielle clears empty glasses from a table, then walks up to Doug, a smile on her face.
I want to thank you again for the other night.
I told you, it's no big deal. I like you. I wish you could sit down and talk for a while.
It's pretty busy. Maybe later. Do you want me to keep your tab open?
Yeah.
Nah, you know, I better not. Moderation, right? Yeah, I guess. Yeah. No, no, no. That's for you. In fact, I have something else for you.
Doug places the bracelet on her tray.
I don't understand.
It's for you. I want you to have it.
Why?
Because I want you to have it. It'll look pretty on you. So take it.
Danielle beams at him.
Wow.
She turns and walks away, lifting the bracelet from the tray. She smiles back at Doug.
Thank you.
He watches her closely. Danielle looks down at the bracelet, and her face goes slack. The bracelet slips from her hand. In a vision, Danielle sees the dark room and the girl in the red sweater lying on the mattress. Danielle watches as a man sits on top of the girl, choking her, wrapping his gloved hands around her neck and squeezing. Light seeps into the room through a broken window, and the man's hands cover the girl's face, then slip away. The girl clenches her eyes shut tightly. A hand strokes her face. Danielle sees Doug sitting over the girl. He brushes a gun against the girl's cheek, staring coldly down at her. He pulls away and his face tightens. In the bar, the bracelet drops to the ground and Danielle falls back, her eyes closed. Gloria runs over to her.
Danielle? Danielle? Help me, somebody! She's choking!
Doug watches as Gloria kneels by Danielle's side.
You're choking me! Danielle! Somebody help me!
Danielle rolls over onto her side and then pushes herself up.
Danielle, I'm okay. I'm all right.
She stands and runs out of the bar.
Danielle, hold on.
Gloria chases after her. Doug stands slowly looking around. He walks over and lifts the bracelet from the carpet, rolling it in his palm. Fade to black. Now outside.
You need to get a hold of this thing.
I can't live like this. I can't.
Oh, honey. We gotta find out how to fix this.
How?
I don't know. Maybe something in your head that gets all twisted.
I'm not crazy.
Oh, I know. I know you're not crazy. I'm not saying that. It's just that you gotta do something about it. I mean, if at least you could prove it. Have you been able to prove it before?
I saw who murdered her. I saw his face. It was Doug Brister.
Doug?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, come on, give me a break. This is just a guy that comes into the bar. Danielle, you can't say that. I mean, you know how dangerous it is, accusing people?
That's what I saw.
Doug creeps up and lingers nearby.
Maybe you have this weird thing with guys that you're attracted with. Who knows? I mean, we all got weird stuff going on. But you can't just choose a guy and accuse him of murder.
Danielle is right.
Oh, God, you scared the hell out of me.
Doug walks over to them.
Oh, God.
I killed her.
You stay away from us.
Everything you saw is true, Danielle. I'm a murderer. I'm sorry. The look on your face is... That was cruel.
Doug, you're crazy,
I know.
Man.
I'm sorry.
You're out there. He got me there for a second. You got me there.
Yes. He's not joking.
You, yes. Of course I am.
Of course he is. Look at his face. Oh. Is that serious?
Gloria.
It's just a sick joke.
Come on, Danielle.
Danielle, someone can't just come up to you and say, heck, people.
Her arms crossed, Danielle eyes Doug.
Well, they don't.
You don't just walk up and say something like that, Danielle. Come on.
Doug, well, this has been a lot of fun, but I'm freezing to death, and I don't want to be fired from my job, okay? And you know what? I'll see you inside, okay? Doug, you're so crazy. Come on, Danielle.
Doug grabs her arm.
Please.
keep watching. In your mind, keep an eye out for me, okay?
Doug steps aside to let Danielle pass, his eyes fixed on her face. She stares at him, shivering, then strides quickly away. Doug gazes after her intensely. Now, daytime. Danielle drives up to the police station. She parks the Ford out front, then walks inside. Danielle hesitates at the door, then enters. She speaks to an officer at the front desk.
I think I have some information about a girl, about a young girl that I think was murdered.
Later, in an interview room, a heavy-set man shakes Danielle's hand.
Danielle?
Driscoll.
Yeah, I'm Chief Garrett.
He pulls out a chair for Danielle, then sits next to her at a conference table.
Now, what's this about?
You found a girl last week.
Yes.
This might sound kind of crazy, but I think I can help you, okay?
Okay.
I see. I have visions, and I had visions about this thing that I'm telling you.
You're psychic?
I've seen things my whole life. Awful things. It's hard to tell what triggers it, you know. Sometimes it just comes, sometimes it's touch. I work in a bar, and I touched a glass that he used, and then I touched some money that he handed me, and then he gave me a bracelet that he took from one of the girls, and I saw him kill her.
Chief Garrett presses an intercom button.
Excuse me, I want to get a couple of my people in here. Linda? Ron, could you come in for a moment, please?
He's dangerous. He's crazy.
This officer, Byron, and Coldwell, they're working on this case.
She's in the water.
Well, we found a girl by the river, but that was in the paper.
No, that was another one. You haven't found her yet, but you will. She's in the water there. He was wearing a red sweater. It's a river or a waterway, and there's a bunch of fishing shacks there, and she's there.
Danielle tightens her mouth and shuts her eyes. Frowning, Linda watches Danielle.
Do you happen to know who's doing this?
Yes. It was Doug Brister. His name is Doug Brister. Now, he rides a motorcycle, but he uses a blue kind of a station wagon.
Doug Brister. Well, he's been around a couple of years. A fisherman, or used to be, but I don't know anything about him.
He works on the dock, cuts boats into scrap. There was that bar fight. He's pretty clean.
How come these girls are just showing up now?
I don't know. But you've got to do something. He's not going to stop. You understand me? He's going to keep on killing. He lives with a woman, and he's probably going to kill her, too, if you don't do something.
All right. We have found one body. I sure hope you're wrong, but we will look into this. Okay, Danielle?
He gets up and ushers her out.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
We'll get back to you.
Okay.
Sliding his hands into his pockets, Chief Garrett turns to his officers.
What do you think?
Pretty far-fetched.
You ever have an experience with people like us?
Sometimes, mostly crackpots.
Yeah, you know, she could have just read that in the paper.
You think she could be involved?
You never know.
Maybe she's got a beef with this guy, Brister, you know. Maybe he dumped her or something.
I don't know. Something about the way she said it. I don't think she's making it up.
Fade to black. Nighttime. Danielle lies in bed asleep.
Hello.
At a payphone near the river, Doug stands in overgrown weeds.
Can you see me?
What do you want?
Don't be afraid.
Don't call here.
Have I told you I think you have a pretty name?
I'm hanging up.
Hanging up won't solve anything. You understand that, don't you? Don't insult me, Danielle.
I'm not trying to insult you.
I know you're afraid of me. But that means you believe in yourself. You believe in what you see, even though you don't want to. It's a gift. God-given.
Leave me alone.
We're a lot alike, Danielle. Most people can only claim their fingerprints or the shape of their nose. Accidents of nature that have absolutely no meaning. But there's a driving force, a living spirit in both of us. It sets us apart. No one but us could ever hope to understand it.
Why are you doing this?
I'm lonely for somebody, Danielle. I've always been alone. Someone who could know me.
Dim light from a street lamp casts an eerie blue pall on Doug's lean, handsome face.
Women are pigs. I lead them to their slaughter, and they've got nothing to say. Little, O-shaped mouths, so surprised. A squeal at the end, maybe. It's stupid. They're stupid and blind. They disgust me. You hear me?
He runs his fingers through his thick brown hair.
But not you, Danielle. I'm not talking about you. See, through your eyes, I could know myself. That's the power you have. So stay with me. Okay? You stay with me.
Danielle hangs up. She throws off the quilt and gets out of bed. Wearing a nightshirt with pajama bottoms, she turns on the hall light. Her long, wavy hair loose and disheveled around her face, Danielle hurries to her daughter's room. Rachel sleeps peacefully on her side. Danielle settles herself next to Rachel on the bed, placing one arm protectively around her. Danielle lies there, awake. Morning. Four uniformed officers pull a body wrapped in clear plastic sheeting from the river. The policemen drag the body of a teenage girl wearing a red sweater onto a weed-covered bank. Chief Garrett watches with Linda.
You gotta admit, that woman described an awful lot of this the other day in the squad room.
I don't want the press to find out about this yet. People panic. Got to be sure.
The officers load the body into a wire mesh gurney. Duct tape fastens the plastic sheeting around the dead girl.
Man, she called it.
Nighttime in the bar. The owner glares at Gloria.
Don't look at me like that.
You know the rules, Gloria. I give you a $50 bank at the beginning of the night. It gets returned at the end of your shift.
Why is this happening to me?
You screwed up. It's easy to do when you get busy. Hand over more change, lose count, who knows, doesn't matter. I don't care where the 50 comes from. Dip in.
Gloria throws money onto the counter.
Give me my purse.
Her boss snatches the money, then retrieves Gloria's purse from underneath the counter. She grabs it and storms out. Danielle follows Gloria outside. In the dark, misty parking lot, Gloria unlocks her car door.
Gloria! What happened?
Oh, I messed up my bank.
had to pay to work tonight.
Well, I'll loan you some.
Thank you. But no thanks.
Well, you know, it's just a night's wages. It's not like it's the end of the world.
I'm just so tired. I'm so sick and tired of this place, of people grabbing me, of serving drinks.
Behind the women, a shadowy figure approaches slowly.
Sometimes I wonder how I got here, Danielle.
I know.
Poor Gloria. I hate to see somebody in pain.
What do you want?
I can help.
Doug leans on the car.
I bet you I can. See, I had a few too many drinks tonight.
I didn't even see you in there tonight.
I drank somewhere else, Danielle. That is possible, isn't it?
What is with you two?
Doug holds out a bill.
$100. That's yours. Take it, Gloria.
I don't understand.
Down payment on a ride home. And if you get me there in one piece, another 100.
You can't get in a car with him.
Well, that's a whole lot of money.
That's not far. It won't take long.
Gloria, he's dangerous.
Dangerous? You know, Gloria, I understand you being cautious. That's good. But I've been where you are. Down, broke, working in a dump like this. I'm just trying to help. It's a ride home. Come on, what do you say?
Gloria glances at Danielle, then smiles at Doug.
What the heck?
Gloria, listen to me. You can't do this! Gloria, don't. Don't.
It's my life. It's my life.
Gloria opens the car door. As Doug opens the door on the passenger side, Gloria turns to Danielle.
Maybe those visions don't mean so much. I mean, you haven't been able to prove them, right?
Doug stares at Danielle. She returns his gaze.
Danielle, I hate my life.
Gloria's eyes fill with tears.
So, I'm gonna take him home because I want to. Nobody's gonna tell me otherwise.
Gloria, please.
I will see you.
Gloria gets into the car. Doug gives Danielle a wave, then gets in next to Gloria. Pressing her lips tightly together, Danielle turns away and walks back to the bar. Fade to black. Morning. Danielle knocks on Gloria's front door.
Hey.
I've been calling all morning.
Well, I was at the bank trying to get them to loan me some money. What do you think? Doug killed me or something?
Oh, yeah, as a matter of fact.
Well, no, he didn't. You see, I'm here. I mean, all I can say is that he behaved as good as an altar boy.
Maybe you were just lucky. He is dangerous. I know it.
Can you look me in the eye and say that you know for sure? I mean, yeah, the guy has a weird sense of humor, but if he's a killer, I don't see it.
Now at the police station, Linda interviews the dead girl's companion.
She was your friend. I'll bet you're gonna miss her. Or are you so tough that it doesn't matter? Well, even if it doesn't matter, you tell me something about what happened.
I... She... We were gonna...
You were gonna what?
We didn't have any money. We did it before. She just thought she could make some money.
Why didn't you go with her?
He didn't want two of us. I got a picture. We took him so we could be friends, you know?
May I see it?
The teenager pulls a strip of Photomat pictures out of her pack.
She was a lot smarter than me. She could write, like, stories and stuff. A year ago, a newspaper in Akron paid her $50 for an article that she wrote about ancient Egypt. She bought a bracelet with that money. She said she needed something to be proud of.
Bracelet? What did it look like?
It was kind of like a charm bracelet. But not exactly. Like, it's there. She always wore it.
Linda peers at the photos.
Can I go now?
Look, who was she? There must be some family somewhere. Even if she was running from them, they should know.
More from Akron. If I give you her parents' address, don't tell them about me. I won't go back, all right?
Later, Linda and Ron sit in Danielle's dining room, looking at enlargements of the dead girl's photos.
It looks like the bracelet he tried to give to me.
Come on. How many bracelets like that do you think there are?
I have no idea.
Danielle, you came to us. Now we're listening.
I don't have any proof. Look, I came here to get away from all of that.
I don't get it. You came to us yesterday. You told us you saw this girl being murdered. You described it accurately, Danielle.
Yeah, and I told a friend of mine that she was going to be killed, and she wasn't. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong.
The other girl, her friend, she said that the guy was driving a station wagon, maybe blue.
Doug Brister rides a motorcycle. Look, I came to the police because I want you to handle it. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to see, never have.
Do you know how difficult it is to catch a serial killer? Do you? Something has to happen, Danielle. Otherwise, they just keep killing.
Linda holds up an enlargement of the two girls making faces at the camera. Danielle wets her lips.
When I was 8 years old, my best friend died. They said that he was running through the house and he fell down a flight of stairs. At the funeral service, you know, he looked like he was sleeping, and I wanted to wake him up. So I touched him. And I saw it. I saw Aaron's father shaking him. And then I saw him hit him. And I saw Aaron fall down the stairs. I told my mother about it, and she got really mad. She didn't believe me. Nobody believed me. And she sent me away. I was 8. I grew up with an aunt and an uncle. Nobody believed me then. Nobody believes me now. So much better if I just said nothing, you know? I know what kind of damage it does when you can't prove it. And the funny thing is, to this day, I'm really not sure if that guy killed Aaron. I'm really not.
Look, I am not asking you to guarantee what you're telling us. I am just asking you to tell us what you see.
But I don't want to. You understand me? I don't want to go to these places. Do you think that I want to see people die? I don't want this to be a part of my life. My daughter in there needs me to be her mother. That's all I have to be. And I can't do that because this thing won't let me. It's making me into a freak. It makes me afraid and ashamed to get close to anybody, to stay in one place for too long. How dare you? How dare you come into my house and ask me to see things like I'm doing you some kind of a favor? Just get out. Just get out. Come on, go.
Danielle pushes the photos away and rubs her forehead. The officers leave. Later, Linda and Chief Garrett sit in a car as they stake out Doug's house.
I think we should just go in there and get him and bring him in for questioning.
On what grounds? Well, Your Honor, we've got the testimony of a psychic.
I mean, Manny, what if it's him and we let him get away?
All right, bring him in.
Search the house, pound his car.
Unless he's incredibly stupid or careless, we got nothing. Of course, he might just break down when you tell him he's been nailed by a psychic.
Look, the other girl, Dixie, she said it was a station wagon. Blue, light.
She can't identify the make or the year. God's sake, she barely identified herself.
Now in a hardware store, Danielle glances at a list as she carries a shopping basket full of items down an aisle. Doug appears and blocks her way.
I know what your power is. Do you know mine? I know where people are weak. Where they'll bend. Just how they'll break.
Lucky you.
I am lucky. Most people are miserable. I'm not. They're lost. They don't know themselves. They need so much more than they can give. All that need. Gotta snuff it out. I can't tell, Danielle. Are you weak like that? Is that all you really are? I'm asking. I really don't know.
Why do you care?
Why do I care? You know about me. I know about you. Neither of us can say that about anyone else.
You don't know anything about me.
Danielle walks away. Doug follows.
I do. I know we're alone in the same way. Set apart from the world.
Nighttime. Rain falls as Danielle pulls into a driveway. Anne waves from the garage.
Hi, Rachel.
Rachel runs into the garage where Anne and her parents pack up the SUV.
I hope you're all right with us leaving this late. Jim's a really safe driver, and this way we can get the kids settled in and in bed by 10.
Sure, that's fine.
Great. Kids always like to have an early start in the morning.
Rachel holds a snowboard.
Hey, this is the thing I was telling you about.
You're really going to ride on this thing?
Jason's a really good teacher.
Right, well, you have fun, okay? No getting eaten by bears.
They're hibernating, Mom.
Danielle hugs her daughter.
Thanks for letting me go.
Danielle smiles at Anne's mother, Georgia.
Well, thanks again.
Oh, it's nothing. It's easier even now that Anne will have a buddy.
She's never even been skiing or anything.
Oh, it's okay. We'll keep a good eye on her. And she'll learn fast.
Bye.
Okay.
Danielle walks out to her car.
Hi.
As Rachel helps pack the SUV, Danielle watches her with a worried frown. Now, Doug carries a 3-foot-long roll of plastic as he steps onto a fishing boat. He pulls off one of his leather gloves with his teeth, then digs into a pocket with his bare hand. He finds keys and unlocks a worn wooden door. He opens the door and steps into the boat's cabin. Now in a sporting goods store, a clerk hands Danielle an automatic pistol.
It's brand new. That should stop anything.
Danielle examines the gun. Later in Doug's house.
I'll leave. You'll be alone. Alone in hell, Claire. Think you can handle that? All by yourself, huh? Who's gonna touch you, huh? No one. You're gonna be in hell. Alone in hell, Clara.
We're tied together forever.
I can cut that tie like that. You're good with surgical tools, Clara. You know how easy that is.
You want me. You need me.
Who needs who?
He grabs her.
Answer me. Who needs who? Who? Who?
Just tell me who you are. Just tell me.
Doug cradles Claire's face in his hands.
Just want you to help me. That's all.
Now at the bar, Gloria wears a blue sweater and black pants as she dances on a table. Waving some legal papers in the air, she jumps down and strides to the counter.
Finally.
Thank you, Gloria.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to miss you for a second.
Danielle glances at the customers.
Harry, are you going to miss me?
We'll miss the aggravation.
Oh, thank you, Harry. Thank you, thank you. I want a toast for not coming back to this place ever again.
Gloria drinks a shot straight down.
Bye, Harry.
She hugs Danielle.
Oh, congratulations. Hi,
thank you. But I'll be seeing you.
Yes, first customer.
First customer. Okay, bye. Bye.
Gloria slips into her tan leather jacket as she walks out of the bar with bouncy steps. Outside, Doug leans against a post, clapping.
Congratulations, you quit. You got more courage than I thought. I'm gonna miss you, Gloria. After all, this loss that assigns a relationship its meaning. What was, but is no more.
If you say so, I gotta go.
Hey, how about another ride home?
No. It's too late, Doug.
Let me ask you something about your deal. I'm sure you got the mortgage and the lease paid for all that stuff, but you got enough money for stock? Enough money to get you through the first couple of rough months? You don't, do you? See, that's what I was afraid of, Glory. You haven't thought this through. If you haven't given yourself a cushion, you're gonna end up right back here, wiggling your tail for these guys. Tell you what. Why don't you let me invest, say, $1,000? Help you get started, get you on your feet. You can pay me back when the money starts rolling in. Gloria, here's your chance to take charge of your life. Not end up a beat cocktail waitress.
Doesn't sound too bad.
Okay. Let's talk about it on the ride home. Come on.
Gloria and Doug walk into the parking lot together. In the bar, Danielle spots Gloria's papers on the counter.
Gloria forgot her lease.
Okay, see if you can catch her. But get right back. What's her name is Green. You have to work a double shift.
In the parking lot, Gloria backs her car out of its space and drives away. Danielle drops the lease as she runs after the car.
Gloria? Gloria!
Doug sits in the passenger seat.
Gloria, Doug!
Danielle wheels around as headlights bear down on her. A large station wagon screeches to a halt, then lurches forward as Danielle holds onto the hood. From behind the wheel, Claire glowers at Danielle. Claire steps on the gas and the bulky vehicle knocks Danielle to the ground. She gets to her feet and watches the blue wagon speed away. Daytime at the river. A body wrapped in plastic floats in the water, caught in a log jam. A woman's arm protrudes.
She's coming out.
She wears silver bracelets and a blue sweater. Her face surfaces. It's Gloria. Three uniformed officers use poles to work the body free from the logs. Chief Garrett watches from the riverbank, a police cruiser parked nearby on a rain-slick road. Later at the police station, Doug stands in a lineup. The teen runaway, Dixie, stares at the men through an observation window.
I don't know.
She turns away.
I can't be sure.
We need you to try, Dixie.
Dixie glances at the men again and shakes her head.
I can't. It was dark. The headlights were in my eyes. I thought there were two of them.
Was one of them a woman?
It was dark.
We have to let him go.
Danielle's chest heaves. As she leaves the police station, she spots Doug on his motorcycle outside.
Hey! Who's next? Who are you gonna kill next, you sick son of a bitch?
You're the one with the vision. You tell me. You don't want to know, do you? Here's your chance. And you're just like the others. Stop running, Danielle. You have the power. Use it.
Doug takes off his gloves and holds out his bare hands.
Take my hand.
He gets off the motorcycle.
Here's your chance to prove that your life is not a lie. Touch me.
Doug grabs Danielle's hand and presses it against his chest. In a vision, Danielle sees blurred, shadowy images. A sign on a chain-link fence reads, "No trespassing. Dock closed." Doug carries a limp body over his shoulder toward a boat. He struggles with a petite woman who has long strawberry blonde hair worn in a ponytail. He pushes her against a worn wooden door. The woman turns, revealing her face. It's Danielle. The vision fades. Danielle crumples, falling heavily against Doug. He pulls her up, his face close to hers.
It's not for the faint of heart, is it?
Danielle squirms out of Doug's grasp. She runs. Doug watches her go. Fade to black. Later.
I miss you. I haven't seen you at the bar.
I quit.
That's a big step. I'm happy for you. Come on, Danielle. You tongue-tied? You don't have a reason to be shy with me. We're like lovers in a way. I've never felt this close to anyone. I know you feel it.
Doug stands in a phone booth outside Danielle's house.
You know, I'm not just some kid who's gonna hop in a car with you. I'll fight you.
I want you to fight, Danielle. This is the first time in my life I haven't
Leave me alone!
How can I? I gave you the vision. I gave you life. And there's nothing you can do about it except follow it. Just follow the damn visions.
No!
Then I'll follow you. Wherever you go. I'll send you running from this town to the next and the next and the next.
In her living room, Danielle gapes. Blinking rapidly, she dials the phone.
Steveston Police Department, may I help you?
I'd like to speak with Officer Byron, please.
I'm sorry, she's not in.
Well, where is she?
I'm not at liberty to say. Is there anyone else that I can help you?
Danielle hangs up, then crosses the room and opens her purse. Taking quick breaths, she takes out the pistol and glances around. Nighttime. Doug rides the motorcycle up to his house. Claire stands outside holding hands with a middle-aged man who wears slacks and a down vest over a flannel shirt. As he walks off, he eyes Doug. Claire runs up the porch steps. Inside, Claire leans against a wall, her arms crossed. Doug enters.
You told him, didn't you? What did you say? What did you tell him?
Everything. Everything you and I have done, he knows. He cares about me. He knows what I've done, and he still cares.
I wish you could hear yourself. You are beyond pathetic. What did you ever do before I came along?
Claire swallows hard.
You don't think he's going to tell someone? You don't think you're going to go to the gas chamber because suddenly someone cares about you? You made a mistake, Claire, and you're going to help me fix it. Yes, Claire. Yes. You're going to help me make it right again.
Claire's eyes fill with tears.
Check the house? All right.
Now, policemen enter a house trailer. Inside, the middle-aged man's body lies slumped over a table. Blood streaks his arm and smears his mouth. Later, Chief Garrett and his officers burst into Doug's house.
Police!
Check in there.
Yeah?
Back room.
I got it.
Check the bedroom, too.
Claire!
He's long gone.
At Danielle's. She slumbers on the couch. She wakes up with a start.
Hello?
I'm sorry to wake you, but you had the police come to my house, and now I have nowhere else to go.
How did you know I was asleep?
Danielle, did you really think a lock on a door could stop me?
Danielle glances around.
That's right. Take a look around. I touched very little, except... I'm sorry, but I took your gun. I'm sure you understand.
Where are you?
It doesn't matter which way you run. It will always be toward me. See ya.
Danielle quickly dials a number. She holds the receiver to her ear and frowns. She frantically presses more buttons, then throws down the phone. She jumps to her feet and hurries to the front door to check the chain lock.
Okay,
She strides to the kitchen and checks the chain on the back door. She opens a drawer under the kitchen counter and rifles through utensils. She finds a carving knife. Clutching it in her trembling hands, she cautiously walks from the kitchen to her daughter's room. She peeks through the doorway into the dark, quiet room. Two stuffed animals lie on the bed. Danielle continues down the hallway, her gaze darting around. She makes her way to the bathroom. Inside, jagged glass lines the frame of a broken window. Danielle falters, then slowly turns around toward the kitchen. The utensil drawer stands open under the kitchen counter. A large window in the back door frames the dark night outside. Her muscles tense, Danielle crosses the kitchen to the back door. Her fingers fumble the lock. She sees Doug's reflection in the window glass. He puts a cloth over her nose and mouth. She struggles, then goes limp. As her head lolls back against him, Doug brushes her cheek with his lips. Supporting her weight, he opens the back door. He drags her outside. Now a sign reads, "No trespassing. Dock closed." Doug carries Danielle over his shoulder as he unlocks a chain-link fence. Danielle raises her head. Blurred upside-down images swirl as Doug walks along the dock. A hazy light suffuses teetering boat masts. Doug sets Danielle on her feet. Holding her tightly, he hustles her down a gangplank. She lurches along with unsteady steps. They tramp through puddles. Masts tower over them as they reach Doug's boat. Holding her up, Doug turns Danielle around to face him.
Was it like this in your vision? Tell me. I'm sorry it has to be like this. There should be a greater nobility to your death. You are so different than the others. Did you know... The others didn't scream. They were too frightened.
Doug cradles Danielle's face.
But if you scream, I'll end it right now. You understand? Yes, good girl.
Now at the police station.
About 3 years ago, he wasn't charged, but there was a report.
Got it.
Linda holds up a file.
Key 12, slip 43. Remember she said it was a place where the floor was unsteady?
He kills him on his boat. Come on.
Now Doug drags Danielle toward the boat's cabin door.
What do you want?
Don't you listen? I want someone to know me, who I am.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I can try.
You're gonna do more than try. You're gonna tell me what you see. And if you lie, I'll know.
I can't force it.
Well, you have to. There's no one else.
Trembling, Danielle shakes her head.
Don't you get it? There's no one else like us. We're gods. The others were just animals. They had nothing to live for, no life, no purpose. I was doing them a favor. Now, come on.
Pulling her close, he forces her face up.
Look into me. Look into me.
I can't.
Tell me what you see.
Oh, I can't see anything.
Look into me and tell me what you see.
I can't see anything.
Look into
me. Can't.
You've done it before.
I can't.
Now images blur as Doug opens the cabin door.
Come in!
No! Wait. Okay. Please, I can do it, okay? Just stay there. Okay?
I tell me what you see. You tell me.
Danielle steps toward Doug. Hesitantly, she reaches up and takes his face in her hands. Her eyes search his features.
You're afraid.
His eyes widen.
You're afraid that I won't see anything.
She slides her hands down to his chest, her face composed as she concentrates. Doug gazes intently at her.
Tell me. Come on, tell me.
Nothing. I saw nothing.
He clenches his teeth as he grabs her.
Get it!
He throws her down.
I am not an animal.
He lunges for her.
No.
He drags her closer.
No. You tell me. You tell me why I'm like this.
Tears well in his eyes.
You tell me.
His hand squeezes her throat.
Why am I like this?
There's no reason. You're just evil and weak and empty inside.
Slowly, Doug sits back, releasing his grip on Danielle. She sits up.
You prey on people's fear. Because that's the only way that you know that you're alive.
Danielle gets to her feet.
And I won't give you that.
Doug paces, covering his ears.
See? Look at me.
Doug blinks at Danielle's calm face.
I'm not afraid. So go ahead. Kill me.
She stares at Doug with a defiant gaze. Wetting his lips, he reaches into his back jeans pocket and pulls out a knife. He flips it open and advances on Danielle.
Police!
Drop the knife!
Hold it, Doug!
Don't do it!
Drop the knife!
Get on the deck right now! You're surrounded, Brister!
Chief Garrett raises a pistol.
Don't move, Doug.
Please, put it down!
I shall
put it down!
Drop it now!
Put it down!
Move on him!
It's the last time! Get down!
Doug gives Danielle a resigned smile. She gazes back at him. She smiles faintly, then she buries her face in one hand. Later, she grins as she runs down the front steps of her house to greet Rachel.
Hi!
They hug.
Oh, it's good to see you.
Mom, you're gonna break me.
So, how was it?
Oh, great.
Cold. Let me tell you, I've never been so cold and wet and great.
Fabulous.
I can snowboard. I really can.
She's ready for the Olympics. I'm telling you.
She's great. I went down a mountain and everything.
You ought to come next time. She missed you.
Oh, she did she?
Of course she did.
Don't you know anything?
Well, thank you again. This was great. I'll see you soon.
Georgia waves.
See you at school. Bye, sweetie.
Bye. Let me see you. I missed you so much. Ugh.
They walk up the front steps.
You mean we're gonna stick around here for a while?
Yeah, we are.
You know what? Maybe we'll take up some more.
Now, words appear.
What?
Danielle married Ron, the policeman depicted in this film. They live in San Jose, California, where she continues to work with law enforcement as an accredited psychic. Doug was convicted of 6 counts of murder and is currently on death row. Fade to black.